Welcome to Polycast, a Civilization podcast focused on game strategy.
Dan Q.
Makalua.
The Mean Team.
Ed Jin. With guest co-host
Alpha Shark.
We need a tech and social policy slash culture web. That's the way to go. We can add that in the first expansion.
Or not.
See, we fixed the tech tree. Quote unquote fixed it. It's now OS.
Welcome to episode 275. I am Alpha Shark, and with us today is your usual hosts, Dan Quick.
Where did I leave that?
Matt Jin.
I'm not telling him.
Matt Kalua.
Luckily, listeners, I don't sound like death anymore.
And the Mian team.
I bring togetherness using military units.
And warm nukes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to guess. Set or fire? He likes to set things on fire.
Fire's great, as long as it's not in real life and on your floor in front of you. Literally an hour before our last recording, that's what happened to me. A small miracle, I was able to do the podcast. Fortunately, it was a tiny fire, and I was able to make sure it was put out quickly. But, yeah, let's constrain fire to in-game, not IRL. Thanks.
So what is the miracle of the day that allows you to do this podcast?
Improvements. Because we got stuff. We got to figure out which things we're supposed to use, which things we're not supposed to use. I always forget to build the three farms next to each other. Or sometimes my city just doesn't let me.
Yeah.
I'm always looking out for those kind of locations.
Yeah, if you can work that in, that's pretty helpful to do. But you're not going to lose if you don't. But it is nice to get more food when you need it. The other nice thing about farms and a lot of other improvements in the game is that they do contribute to housing to some degree, and that can get you to breakpoints for districts in some cases. So they're worth considering in that regard as well, even if you're not working them, depending on your circumstances.
And yes, we're talking about Civilization VI, for our listeners.
Yes.
I know there have been some people in the extended Polycast community that we used to give grief for in Civilization V for constructing a farm on a hill. But now in Civilization VI, there are times when you're looking at the base yield, and it's like, oh, yeah, Grassland Hill. And I must admit, you're just going into it thinking about Civ 5. No, I'm never, ever going to do that. Nope, never. Oh, wait, it's on that Grassland Hill. It's already got two food, and it's got one production. And, oh, I've got the choice between a farm and a mine. And depending upon the other terrain that I have around me and thinking about continual growth within the city, I do find myself at times putting a farm on a grassland hill. It almost feels dirty, but also so right.
It's okay. You don't have to tell anybody. Just do it. Just do it when and don't tell anyone about it.
Yeah, we don't want to hear you. Well, it's nice to actually put plantations on bananas instead of just leaving them in the jungle.
Yeah.
Yes, it is nice to actually use bananas properly. Not just, hey, look, you sit there and do your stuff because not proving you is better.
Yeah, that was always a little silly.
Yes, generally speaking, investing to have less yield is not something that really belongs in the game.
Yep.
Well, we already wished that coast tiles had more, then fishing boats would be more useful. I mean, the coast tiles are useful directly when there's fish or something on it, but the rest of them are kind of, eh?
Even fish is like, it's not amazing. It doesn't make up for, like, having 10 water tiles or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, the benefit to, say, a water tile, a coast tile that is adjacent to, for example, fish. It's a nice place to put my commercial hub because I can get an adjacency bonus plus one gold because I've got the resource beside me. But, yeah, if there isn't a resource there and it's, well, I can get access to the coast otherwise, it is a little underwhelming. The sea is a little underwhelming. However, it is nice that I can take my builder out now and construct a fishing boat as opposed to
the separate fishing boats.
One of the few changes in Beyond Earth that I just thought was a big improvement to the series.
With that, yeah.
Stop with the workboats, fam. Yes.
Yep.
And the other thing with the coast is that you do gain access to the harbor, which is an additional trade route. And when you are stacking that with commercial hub trade route, you get a lot of trade routes, which, depending on your strategy, can be a lot of yield. Yeah. Unfortunately, the micromanagement for that in this game is terrible right now because of the UI, but that is a potentially strong use. And because you don't need a pop to work it, the marginal strength of that city is pretty good until you are forced to work all your tiles, can't work any specialists, or become food constrained. So for most of the game, you just don't work the water tiles then, but it doesn't actually gimp you significantly. Unless you just put on a one-tile island and can't build anything.
Right? Like, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, Coastal City is not necessarily a hindrance. It could be helpful.
Really?
Sugar seems to be the new overpowered food source. I can easily get like 5 or 6 food out of those things.
Yeah, sugar's good.
I know, I haven't gotten around to building a fort yet. Or an airstrip.
Well, airstrips are actually useful now because you can just drop them anywhere and move your air units over.
Yeah.
You know, when you actually choose to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, when you actually have the air units.
It's a return to what we had in Civilization 4, where you can actually have an airstrip on the map and put air units in there, as opposed to, oh, I'm sorry, do you not have any more room in your city center? Do you not have somewhere to put it on a ship? Oh, that's too bad. Sorry, no, you can't have it sit on land or anything like that.
Sucks to be you, basically.
In Civ 4, it's actually forts that you do that, but otherwise very similar.
As for forts itself in Civ 6, occupying unit receives +4 defense strength and automatically gains 2 turns of fortification. Yeah, I'm not even using it to decorate my deserts, to be honest. I'm not saying they're completely useless. They're just so situational that I'm really having to try and remember the last time I built one.
You don't need the in-depth tactics against the AI. I can picture using this against human players because it's valuable to be able to move a unit into a tile and immediately get all those defensive bonuses stacked onto each other, especially if it's a kind of choke region. Against the AI, which will throw its units away, you don't need it. But
unless you're playing Legions and they just walk forward, drop a fort when you need to heal.
Yeah.
I'm going to heal. Okay, drop fort. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, that's true.
Then you throw archers in your forts.
Well, and a fort also needs a military engineer, right, in order to be able to construct it. And it's like,
yeah.
So that, and no, I can construct roads. Well, I've got my roads for my trade routes. So can you do anything else, military engineer? Can I get you from the beginning of the game? No, my builders are much more versatile. So... yeah.
Although how many roads can they build again? I always forget.
Like 2?
Oh, that's right. That's why I didn't like them.
Oh, yeah.
Very underwhelming.
Yeah, yeah, they're all crap, generally.
It's like... yeah.
Military engineer is not so useful.
Because, like, if they could build more roads, I would consider them when roading to somebody who's not able to trade with or not trading with much, just to have a better post-conquest setup and have an easier time attacking them. But, yeah, no, not really worth it for that.
At the very least, make them a little cheaper, but I just rather them have more capacity. Rather than it's like, so this is military engineer number 6. I'm halfway there. What?
Living on a prayer?
That's a trade route.
Exactly. And get some immediate benefit for it as well, in addition to the movement.
That's what we usually do. Like airstrips, we have missile silos now, so, you know, when you get to that point,
nuclear missiles are technically held off in the la-la land of non-existence until you actually use them. They're more of a pretend thing now. When your bomber, who happens to be hanging around, decides to be close enough to go nuke something, then your nuclear bomb gets loaded onto that bomber and thrown off into wherever that happens to be.
Oh, has anybody ever built a seaside resort?
I was going to say, if I ever get around to a tourism game, I'd do it.
Tourism game, accidental tourism game, just for the money.
No, the money, yeah.
I don't bother with them.
I did a plant forest in one game where I was doing a national park and I wanted forest in my park to improve the appeal, and that helped. But, it was only for tourism, culture, victory condition.
Let's see. Can we get more specific ones? Like Sumeria has their ziggurat and the sphinx for Egypt. Spam. It's like... guys, seriously.
Seriously. So
you'll go into Egypt and tell. Seriously. You go into an Egyptian city and where they could be doing other things with the terrain. Nope, Sphinx.
Yay.
Sphinx everywhere.
Yeah,
it's not that good of an improvement either. So, like, spamming it to that degree is, well, I mean, the AI does worse things, but it's not good.
Well, Part of the thing is, if you got desert around you, you're going to be doing
very
little.
Yeah, in that case, it makes sense.
Oh.
So what else is going to go there? Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to work those desert tiles unless they have food.
Actually, another time going down this list, I'm realizing the AI loves to spam all of their uniques.
Well, yeah, they have a unique thing. They're going to use it.
Well, like Scythia, if they've got the pasture and they can do the Kurgans around that, okay, that gives them some faith and some gold and things.
The Great Wall feels kind of situational to me. There's just not often a lot of times that I have an area that I can build a wall to block out people.
Built a wall on a coast once. It'd be fine.
It's fine. You totally needed a wall there, right?
Yeah.
Saying that the chateau can get bonus gold and adjacent to luxuries.
Well, the problem with the improvements, if you make them, like, really, really nice, yield-wise, then they can't be spammable. And if you make them spammable, they can't have nice yields.
Mm.
They should keep up with other type of improvements so that they're worth using, but it's a problem of spammability.
Maybe restricted to one per city?
The game is a built-in mechanic that it's not using well right now. That reduces spammability, and that's that when you build a builder, it is not a worker, and it doesn't stay around all game able to continually build these improvements. So I would like to see the improvements be stronger in general relative to district yield.
I can still spam builders all game.
You can, but the mechanic by design can constrain your ability to spam these improvements, and ideally it should. It just doesn't right now do so effectively.
No, you can constrain the special improvements a little bit more, so it takes a little bit more before you can actually put it down.
Well, yeah, and I think giving them extra conditions but making them stronger is the reasonable choice.
Yeah, or a per-city limit, like Scott would have talked about.
Yeah, that would work, too.
That way you don't have the AI going, hey, look, I've got 10 of these in this city.
I'm India, and I totally need a 10-step well so my city could go even more vertical.
Well, yeah, I did that as India, too, but then you find out that the AI forgot to give the city food so it can't grow.
Yeah.
But it's got lots of potential.
And that's the other thing. I would like to see them be not necessarily always better than normal improvements, but at least most of the time it's better than some alternative improvement you could put on that next.
Yeah, you want it.
And you would still be willing to work it. That's also key.
Yeah, so just to backtrack a little bit, the Ziraat was going to give you +2 science, +1 culture if adjacent to a river, and what we're currently talking about right now, in part, the chateau, +2 culture, +2 culture if adjacent to a wonder, and it'll give you another gold if adjacent to a luxury resource. But the step well, since that was mentioned for India, plus one food, +1 housing. Adjacent to a farm, it's another +1 food. So of all the uniques for a particular civilization, I'm most impressed with the stepwell. Although a ziggurat in moderation, just like with any of these, is also not too bad, particularly right from the beginning of the game, +2 science. Got enough food to work that. That's a nice little science boost. The other ones,
the big thing is the housing.
Yeah.
You get solid food in addition to housing boosts, so India can put up their city sizes very quickly, even on terrain that is not particularly forgiving for it, and they can do that early on. Yeah, that's why I would agree it's one of the better special improvements.
Spain, the mission, +2 faith, +2 science, a cultural heritage, +2 faith if not on home continent, +1 science if adjacent to a campus district.
It's okay, because remember, that's +3 faith. And all the other stuff. As long as it's not on your home continent,
that
is okay yields.
Make sure you're going for colonial/conquest.
Yeah.
And if someone's listening to this thinking, going, ugh, faith, religion, blah. Well, yeah, there is the religion, blah. But you can't spend your faith on these things called great people.
Or units, if you went that way.
Yeah. Just on improvements in general, I think the only ones that we didn't mention were the quarries and the lumber mills.
Awesome when you have a riverside hill with a forest on it.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That's when they're awesome. Other than that, fuck it, burn it down.
Chop it to production. That's a better way to do it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you get the lumber mill bump for being on a river right away.
Yeah.
So it's as soon as you get the lumber mill, it's +2 to that tile, versus mines, which are only +1. At apprenticeship, you get an extra +1. So it's basically +2. So you'd have to burn down the forest and then add it on. But then you can get the lumber mill bump at the same time as you get the other bump. So, yeah.
It's one of the game's few decent situational evaluations with this stuff. If it's early enough, you will actually want to chop it for that early game boost so that you can expand or fight more quickly. There's a window there where just building the lumber mill will give you more yield. Then it evens out again.
Ah.
And you should probably chop it.
I do like that the mines do adjacency bonuses as well, so you have that to consider.
For industrial districts, yes. Industrial districts, they and quarries provide adjacency bonus. But yes, if you're going for that, for industrial district, yes, you're going to burn down all your forests that you can get those in quickly.
Yeah, and it'll help you build the industrial district.
Yep.
It's not as cool sounding as chopping into a spaceship part, but it gets the job done.
And in Civilization VI, there is also the consideration of, and this kind of goes with, of course, improvements on resources and then just resources in general. Hey, look at all that marble. You know, I could mine that, or I could just harvest it all right now for a one-time big production boost. Hey, look at that wheat on that tile. You know what? I could farm that, or I could just get this one nice one-time big food boost to my city.
You should never remove the
food
from that. Usually, if you're going to do that, it's, hey, look, I'm going to time purging these marshes, which don't really help you at all.
I don't think they changed it, right? You can use that food boost to shove your city past the normal limit of housing.
Yeah, but it's a soft cap. But the thing is, at some point, you're going to hit the hard cap.
If you can get to another district breakpoint forcibly by chopping, well, quote-unquote chopping, that's how I think of the mechanic, food into the city.
Oh, yeah, you can. At some point, your growth is just going to die.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always found the question of, do I go ahead and do I remove this stone or this marble from the map? A more interesting question than removing the food, but to me it comes down to one of two things. One, I want to rush this wonder. I absolutely have to have this wonder. I want this wonder, whatever, / doing it for the lulz, depending upon the wonder and what civilization you are. Or, you know, that would be a really nice spot for an adjacency bonus for a district that I would like to construct right now. So you decide that, okay, I'm going to be better off removing that resource from there, mining that, and putting a district there. More often than not, I'm going to leave it where it is. But
really? Keeping in mind that unless you have boosts to these tiles or are benefiting from their adjacency bonuses, their baseline yield isn't that good.
Yes.
Because that is another factor you would consider in whether you're getting rid of it or not, is how good of a tile is it short and long term to work straight up. And some of them just aren't that strong, the bonus resources, to the point where any tech-boosted regular improvement, like a fully strong mine or a fully strong lumber mill, stuff like that, is actually a better tile to work. Yeah, just straight up better. So you might as well get the one-time boosts from those things, unless you're using it for something else, because it's not worth working it over alternative options, basically ever.
Resources in general, we've got strategic bonus and luxury.
Don't harvest your strategic resources. We know that.
Really?
Not unless you have tons of them. And even then, I don't know, because like, some of them are pretty decent yields, so...
We could harvest them just so the AI will shut up about offering those terrible trade deals for them. Here, let me trade all of one thing for this. No. Go away.
I think that's what they're trying to get you to do. They want you to remove that from the map. So they're offering these ridiculous deals.
They have no idea
to do it. Yeah, it's part of their strategy, really. Think about it.
There's a +1 science to tea and a +3 food to the citrus. Why is copper a bonus resource rather than a luxury?
I like how they removed it as a strategic.
Aluminum, coal, horses, iron, nitre, oil, and uranium. I'm so glad that not having nitre does not give me the shakes like not having saltpeter did in Civ 3.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's annoying, but it's not unlivable, which is what the saltpeter one was like.
Yeah, I think you only have to worry about one or two units really needing it, and then if you just push beyond that era, you can get to the units that don't need nitre anymore.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can't construct a musket man. Oh, that's okay, I'll just research and I'll have infantry, that's fine. Wouldn't say I'm feeling I'm blocked from doing it as that I want to do, but in terms of units and missing out on, I would be much more concerned about not having coal or oil. Coal for the battleships more than the ironclad, but even that.
Yeah.
And then the oil. What? No tanks? Are you kidding? Oh, man. So now I've got to slog my way across the map with movements that move 2 hexes instead of 5. Part of it's the punch they pack, but it's more about just being able to move across the map. Although, I guess if it's more water-based, then that's not so much of a concern in the case of a tank. But
you should at least be 3. You should at least have 3 movements, because you really want to bring a great general for that purpose alone. Even with tanks, it's nice, but definitely with 2 movers, my gosh. I think that 3rd movement point makes a big difference.
Yep.
comes to iron, I'm more like, oh, I don't have iron to work, as opposed to, oh, I don't have iron to construct a swordsman or a knight. It's more about the yield it can grant me as opposed to the unit I'm no longer going to be able to build. Or
knights
not
are good.
Knights are good. I don't know what he's talking about.
I'm not saying knights are bad. I just don't feel the loss if I don't have knights, quite honestly. But then again, when that knight comes around...
Feel the love.
Yeah.
Get the knight love.
I can circumvent not having knights. It's fine. All right. Luxury resources. Providing amenities.
Yeah, that's what they're there for. You should improve them. It helps to have amenities.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
A production boost of stone.
Scott mentioned sugar. Yep. Plus two food.
Yeah, there's sugar.
Yep. Yay for spices, too. Also plus two food. Oh, yes. Also citrus plus two food. After the food luxuries, I really like the gold ones, of course, because gold, yay, money, awesome. Translates into so many other things that you want to be able to do in the game. Three gold, we've got coca and cotton and diamonds, silver and truffles. And, of course, these amenities, these luxury resources, giving you plus four amenities for up to four cities. You can also trade them away. And if you have some pretty decent relations with AI, it is awesome because they will pay a considerable amount of money. And what's even better, and this is, of course, not as intended. I certainly hope it's not as intended. It's like, hey, I've got four sources of diamonds. So I've got one for myself. And look at this. This one AI, it will buy all other three sources of diamonds. And sometimes, on top of that, it'll even pay more for the second and third copies because broken. Because
it's more. Didn't you know more is goodier?
Yeah. It's like with the diamonds. Oh, these are even more perfect diamonds. This particular copy, so you should pay more.
Yeah,
more.
This
okay.
is more perfect.
Exactly.
Why do things like dye give faith and tea give science?
Because we said so.
I don't know if it was specifically thinking about any kind of historical thing. It's just, okay, look at all these resources that we have on the map that, okay, diamonds, yeah. Giving gold, fine. I think most people would agree that makes the most sense of the available games in-game. But then it's, you know, we don't have something that gives us science or faith. What are we going to assign that to? Oh, based on the list that's available left, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, six, half dozen of the other.
Yeah, they say, I know they assigned it to mercury and aluminum, and I guess that makes sense, but it just seemed weird for tea to have science.
Well,
don't
you think better after a nice cup of tea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you go to against tea, man?
The caffeine is a performance-enhancing drug that you can use to
Oh, Scott doesn't have anything against tea. He has something against science. Okay, well, he's tea and sieve. I guess otherwise from the luxuries, just those off-map luxuries that you get either from great people or one certain city-state, which is so amazing. I want you to be my friend. I want to be your suzerain for life.
Then I conquer it just to troll you.
You would. We're talking about, of course, Zanzibar for the cinnamon and cloves. Not just four amenities for each one of those. No, six each. 12 amenities? Boom. Okay. That sounds good. Then there are also cosmetic and jeans and perfume and toys.
Yeah, toys it is. But...
we don't want to hear about your toys. There are wonders in Civilization VI of both the world and the natural kind. Number of ways we can approach this particular topic, we're going to break it down between wonders of the world and natural wonders. Let's just talk about them alphabetically, just because why not? We need some way to sort these things, and then we can talk about where they fit in the tiers. Alhambra! Ooh, plus
make
two
people tear.
Should have known.
Wow. Make people cry.
That's Dan's favorite one to say, anyways.
Alhambra.
Man, I don't even have to say it. People can just quote me now. This is amazing. Available in Medieval Era, plus two amenities from entertainment, plus two great general points per turn, and plus one military policy slot. Plus one military policy slot sounds the nicest of all.
Sometimes.
Yeah, if I was going for conquest, this is definitely a good one to build.
This is definitely in my top half of wonder picks. If I was going to construct a wonder, it doesn't mean, oh, I must construct it for this reason. It's just I kind of take into account when I'm thinking about where I'd place them in the tiers, not just what am I going to get, but how much is it going to cost in terms of production, and when is it available? Because, of course, at some point, if you're going to construct one of these wonders, one of your cities has to be constructing this instead of constructing something else.
True, but only sometimes.
Alhambra, decent. It's decent. It's not spectacular, but it's decent. Big Ben. Yes, please. Doubles current treasury?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
yeah, I'll take that.
That's always a good thing to build.
okay, yeah, there's plus 6 gold, plus 3 great merchant points per turn. There's also an economic policy slot, which is, like, secondarily awesomeness, but doubles current treasury. Just make sure that you're paying attention to that. It's like, I should keep spending my treasury.
No, don't pay attention.
Oh, yeah, no. I doubled my treasury. Hey, it went from 10 to 20 gold. Well, dang. it comes in the industrial era. Yeah, I realize it's later on in the game, but doubling your current treasury, wow, that is amazing. That makes
well,
it
only
amazing.
If you actually played the game wrong and doubled your, made sure your treasury was huge instead of spending your money constantly. You're doing it wrong.
No, it depends. It depends on that particular point in the game.
Yeah, you're just doing it wrong.
It depends how long it's going to take you to construct Big Ben, number one. That's also definitely a consideration. Uh-huh. It is expensive.
Sure, it does.
I wouldn't say it's top tier, but it's middle of the road.
I like anything that gives a civic slot, and I do like economic ones, so having an additional one of those is very good.
Yeah, there's doubling your...
I think the economic slot, but the doubling of stuff is meh.
If it's like, man, I'm going to save up, 5,000 so I can get to 10,000, well, no. I'm talking double treasury, like going from maybe like 500 to 1,000, or 1,000 to 2,000. It's nice. If you time that well, it's like, ooh, I can just buy a whole bunch of units right now. This is great, and where I want to construct them. Even in a city I just took, which is a whole other, of course, separate conversation. But yeah, another economic policy slot, always money. Always money. Okay, this next one alphabetically. I guess we need to acknowledge this. Bolshoi Theater, industrial era, great writer, great musician, points per turn, great work of writing, great work of music. Yeah, it gives you 2 randomly chosen free civics when completed, but all these great writer-musician points, I'm not feeling it. Obviously, if you're going for a culture victory, fine.
Yeah.
If you're not going for a culture victory, why are you doing this?
It's not critical for getting culture victory to have this.
If you say it's critical for this particular victory condition to construct this wonder, I've got an issue with your victory condition. Just in general, regardless of whatever the victory condition happens to be. Now I'm thinking about Leonardo's workshop from Civ 2.
I miss that thing.
Throwback. Well, yes, you would. It's actually not too bad in Civilization Revolution either. Broadway. Great writer points, great musician points, writing slot, music slot, 1 free random atomic error, civic boost. See previous answer with regards to culture victory.
This thing's always a pain in the ass to build.
It's modern era. It's expensive.
Yeah, I agree with that, Magin.
We try not to agree too much with Magin on the show, but you're a guest, so you can get away with it.
it's not a good plan, actually. Don't worry.
Chichen Itza. Okay, plus 2 culture on all rainforest. Yes, rainforest tiles in the city, plus 1 production to all rainforest tiles in the city. Must be built on rainforest. So hopefully you have more rainforest than just the rainforest that you just built that on, because then why?
So Brazil would like this world wonder.
Yes, given their bias to starting around rainforest. Or if you find yourself with rainforest.
Sure, why not?
Sure. Don't have any major issue with it, other than I'm sorry for your rainforest. This will make it a little better.
Unless you really, 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 really like it.
I think rainforests have better benefits in this game than they did the previous, because you get science bonuses for your science district.
Well, they also give, more food production than they did previous.
Not that would be hard, but yes. Coliseum in the classical. Plus 2 culture, plus 3 amenities from entertainment. Coliseum's culture and amenities are extended to each city center within 6 tiles. I read that and I think, are you playing Japan, where you want to be compacting your cities anyway? Since you're already doing
that. Yeah, I don't like that range. That range feels a little small. But I do like the amenities. I think you're better off settling or trading more amenities than building this.
Now, it may just be my experience, but I find even though this is available in the classical era, it's often left untouched by the AI. And then kind of mid to late game, it's, I really have all the copies of amenities that I can get. You know, one of these cities that I just conquered? Yeah, they're kind of ticked off. So maybe I could have it construct a coliseum, and then I don't have to worry about rebel problems, and then my units can continue going on for the rest of the war. So it definitely has its place, but it's not must-build. The Colossus, also in classical, plus 3 gold, plus 1 great admiral point, plus 1 trade row capacity, and grants a trader unit.
That's a good one.
That is decent. It's nice that in addition to giving me the trade row capacity, you've given me a trader unit to now also complete that capacity. And if you're going to give me a great admiral point, that's great, because at least with regards to the AI, there isn't a lot of competition for those great admirals, and those can come into benefit, particularly on a water map. I would say it is above average, given also when it arrives in the game.
Okay.
Christo Redentor, Modern Era, plus 4 culture. Tourism output from relics and holy cities not diminished by other civilizations have researched the Enlightenment civic. I'm actually trying not to yawn as I read this sentence. Doubles tourism output of seaside resorts across your civilization.
No, there's nothing bad with that.
It's not that it's bad, it's just, it's Modern Era, are you going for a culture victory, or are you not going for a culture victory?
If you are, then it's awesome. If you're not, then shut up.
Well, exactly.
I think, you know, Dan's point is that by the time you get to this World Wonder, you should already have the culture victory in hand, and that this is not really going to make much of a difference.
No, I think that's bullshit. Most culture victories can be decided at that point in the game. Especially if you're not going mass artifact hunting or whatever. Going for seaside resorts, it's awesome.
I thought that was the key way of getting culture victories, is to go for those artifacts.
Yeah, but you can't always lock it up with just artifacts.
Doubling the tourism output from the seaside resorts, which are good to be building anyway just for the freaking gold. Okay, I'll give some credit to that. But it's later game, relatively expensive. Ooh, Eiffel Tower, also in the Modern Era. All tiles in your civilization gain +2 appeal.
That one I like. That one's very useful.
Certainly when you're starting to think about neighborhoods and where you're going to be able to place them to get your cities even larger, get that housing capacity to match your increasing food capacity, of which you hopefully have. Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's for all tiles in your civilization, both present and future, it's above average to me.
Yep. National parks everywhere.
Woo!
Yep.
Oh, man. The next one, everyone in the Atomic Era, Estadio do Maracana. Man, I'm so English. +6 culture, +2 amenities from entertainment, +2 amenities in each city in your civilization. Oh, here, plus two. I mean, the first part is, that's all right, +2 amenities in each city in your civilization. I mean, yeah, it is Atomic Era, and it is expensive. I value it more if it was available a little earlier and a little cheaper, but, man, you're going on a conquest spree. And or you're trying to get your city up. Yeah, you got to build in an entertainment complex with the stadium.
Yeah, it depends on whether or not you need more amenities per city.
Yep.
Like, what else did you choose? What policies did you take?
Forbidden City at the Renaissance. Nice. +5 culture. +1 wild card policy slot. Wow. Absolutely anything for any government type going forward. Yes. Yes, please.
That makes it worthwhile to me.
Yeah.
Great library, +2 science, +1 great scientist, point per turn, +2 great works of writing. Receive boosts to all ancient and classical era technologies. Seeing as how we also need the recorded history civic for this, and that's at the end of classical, it's like I've kind of pretty well finished all of that at this point. That's too bad. Otherwise, I'd be all over this.
It does feel a little underwhelming.
Just make it available a little earlier, and it could definitely at least be average, if not above average, because you get those boosts to the technologies, and it's, oh, I was going to research that in 10 turns, now it's 6. Well, you multiply that across all the boosts, that would be amazing. It's just, it's too late. And it's too late to apologize.
It's too late.
Much more liking the Great Lighthouse for the +1 movement for all naval units. Oh, yeah, there's the +3 gold and +1 Great Admiral Point return again, but if you've got any kind of water-based map, either completely or heavily dependent, +1 movement for all naval units. That's decent.
It's not nearly as good as Civ 4 Great Lighthouse, though.
Now, Phil. Yeah. I know. You built incredible economies with that overpowered thing, and I'm still bitter. But
it's probably a good thing that Civ 6 has no equivalent of that. That didn't need to be in any Civ game, really.
Great Pyramids is also in the ancient era. +2 culture. Grants a free builder. All builders can build one extra improvement. Oh my gosh. Yes, please. Even if I'm not China.
Sure.
Get a little later on in the game, whatever that policy is that gives you +2 builds. Wow, so now I'm up to 6, or China at 7. And you're going to give me a free builder to immediately take advantage of that extra improvement? I love this wonder. This is like a top tier for me. Because builders are useful throughout the game, and you can build them right from the beginning of the game. Did you know that? It's incredible.
Did you know?
Great Zimbabwe Renaissance, +5 gold, +1 trade route capacity, and your trade routes from the city get +2 gold for every bonus resource in this city's territory. Ah, if you've got a lot of bonus resources in the city, sure. I mean, the +1 trade route capacity is nice, but it is at the Renaissance. It's not terrible. I just put it a little bit below average.
I like the Zimbabwe. Get extra money.
Decent more cash. Although there's like a mass volume of cash in the system anyways already. But
yeah.
Yeah.
On the whole, if you go with trade routes, Grave Zimbabwe is really good. It's just the hard part is getting a commerce district next to a cow, because you can't always necessarily find a good location for the commerce district where there's a cow near a river.
Yeah.
/ city location. So that's one of those ones that sometimes you just have to accept that you're going to have a bad commerce district.
Now, although the requirements does make it more likely you can get it, too, if it is available based on your land, because not everyone else is going to have that set up.
Yep, there's that, too.
Oh, yeah, there are definitely games where that is not constructed.
Holy free-for-all.
Huggable Sophie in the medieval era, plus four faith. Missionaries and apostles can spread religion one extra time. Did you know you must have founded a religion in order to be able to construct this wonder? Gee, I wonder.
What?
I know, right? It's near the bottom for me, and that's nothing to do with the wonder itself. It's about the religion mechanic, which we talked about before. I know there's some disagreement on that. And that's the way it should be in the soup game. If we all agreed on every aspect of what you should do in this game, this podcast would be boring. Hanging gardens, increase growth by 15% in all cities. Yeah, it must be built next to a river. Sure, you probably have a river somewhere. Increases growth by 15% in all cities. May feel like, well, it's 15%. It's a percentage. It's not an absolute value. It's not doing me a lot necessarily in the immediate moment. Yeah, but it will.
Pays off.
It ought to.
Yeah, it does.
Don't ignore it for what you're not necessarily getting in the immediate moment.
Yeah, exactly. Don't do that.
That's a wonder that'll keep paying forward throughout the your game or all the euros.
Hermitage, yes, everyone used to be able to build that in Civilization V, but not in Civ 6. No, 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 no. The Industrial Era.
No, 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 no.
Plus we create artist points per turn, plus four great works of art. Available to Natural History Civic. Again, culture. Not that there's anything wrong with culture. I want to be able to be progressing through my civics tree. But unless you're going for a culture victory, again, eh. Oh, great. Why did I sign myself this topic? Just to try to pronounce some of these things. Hui Teocalli, medieval era.
Sounds good.
Plus one amenities from entertainment for each adjacent lake tile within one tile. Plus one food and plus one production for each lake tile in your empire. Well, if you've got a lot of lake tiles, particularly those that lake tiles have a resource that are already on it, then in that case, it can be above average. And it is nice for the plus one amenities.
Is that?
Boosted amenities is only for the city.
That's right.
If you have a giant lake that basically has like five lake locations next to a coastal spot, it's awesome.
Mahabodhi Temple, classical era, plus four faith, grants two apostles. And you also must have founded a religion. Again, if you're going the religion route, sure.
Yeah, you get two free apostles. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, depends. If you want to double tap getting your religion set up.
Yeah.
Yeah, your additional beliefs, yeah, each two, one from each apostle, absolutely.
Make sure you get those quick.
Yeah, I guess as time goes on, your selection dwindles. Mont Saint Michael, medieval era, plus two faith, plus two relic slots. All apostles you create gain a martyr ability in addition to a second ability you choose normally.
I keep hearing you guys say this thing is overpowered.
I've never said this.
Martyr benefit is awesome. It's not overpowered, but if you want to generate relics like crazy, then yes, this one's pretty powerful. You get to martyr all your apostles to get relics. If you've got a big empire, that's a lot of relics. And eventually that's mass faith and charisma. Happen to be playing Congo, then you also get crap ton more. Because they're both.
The Oracle or Oracle in the ancient era, plus one culture, plus one faith. Patronage of great people costs 25% less faith. Also, districts in this city provide plus two great person points of their type. Wow. Yes, please.
That is good. Yeah.
Oxford University, industrial era, plus two great science points per turn, plus two great works of writing slots, industrial, plus 20% science in this city, and awards two randomly chosen free technologies when completed.
Sounds good to me. I like that one.
Just build it in the quote-unquote right city. You want to build it in your, if you can, because it must be built on a grassland or plains adjacent to a campus district or university, build it in your leading science city. just a thought.
Yeah, weird.
Oh, Petra. Yes, yes, yes. Plus two food, plus two gold, and plus one production for all desert tiles for this city, non-floodplains. Dang it. But still.
Stuff.
Man. It can turn an otherwise not useful site into something that is useful.
But it's kind of hard to build that wonder in a not-so-useful site if they don't have the food to feed your production tiles to get this thing built.
Well, yeah, you don't want it to be, I'm just going to plant it plonk in the middle of the desert. Let's have the city there and build Petra. No, no, no. You're going to want some tiles of other kind that are going to give you, like you say, towards Scott, some kind of food boost, and then you could actually work the desert tiles for the food and the gold.
Mm-hmm.
but kind of one of those fringe cities on the desert, it can make it decent and worthwhile in that case. Although I would say the only way this city is going to be of any use to me is if I can then build Petra. Whoa, that's a big gamble. I'd be more tempted to find some better spot to settle the city if you feel that you must have Petra in order for the city to be decent. Potala Palace, Renaissance, plus 2 culture, plus 3 faith, plus 1 diplomatic policy slot. I prefer military and economic policy slots, but by the time you get to the Renaissance era, there are some decent diplomatic policy slots to be had.
Well, there are some diplomatic policy slots to be had. That's more the point.
Yeah.
That's decent. Ruhr Valley, industrial era, plus 3 production in this city and plus 1 production for each mine and quarry in this city. Of course, you have to test to be built along a river adjacent to an industrial district with a factory. So, man, if you can line all those things up, it's very nice.
That will be a very strong hammer city if you can line those things up.
Mackie's fan agrees.
Shush you.
My Mackie! Stonehenge.
Go fan.
Plus
go
2
fan. Go fan.
Get your bling on. Stonehenge grants a free great prophet. Great prophets may found a religion on Stonehenge instead of a holy site. Well, if you want to kickstart your religion, you can, but...
Gold it is Congo.
Oh, well, for the troll, sure. Seeing how they can't found a religion, why not?
Sure.
3 more to go. Sydney Opera House, Atomic Era, plus 8 culture, plus 5 great musician points, plus 3 great works of music slots.
I mean, I like the, this. I built it just because I like the Sydney Opera House.
I mean, I like the plus 8 culture, but it's Atomic Era.
Very late in the game.
If I get that far and I have a city close enough to the coast, yeah, I'm building it. I don't care.
I just saw that it had something to do with art and music and decided that I would never build it, but it's there.
Also the most expensive by a notable margin, over 3,000 hammers. Wow. Terracotta Army, classical, plus 1 great general point per turn. No, well, you can get started on that, but, oh, all current land units gain a promotion level. Oh.
Nice.
If you have a land army.
That's the problem is the tendency for other people to build it before it would be enough sufficiently useful to merit.
I'd just rather build more land units and have them engage in combat and get a promotion level that way, to be honest.
Well, yeah, if you already had advanced units, but it's too early in the game to have tons of advanced units already.
That's right.
Because getting, like, the last promotion takes, or, like, later promotions takes a lot of experience, a lot of combat. It takes forever. So that could make your army substantially more effective if you had a big army that had chunks of experience already, but it's a classical under. So good luck with that, even on Marathon.
Last but not least, in Wonders of the World, Venetian Arsenal at Renaissance, plus 2 great engineer points per turn, but that's not the real reason to talk about this. Receive a second naval unit each time you train a naval unit. Oh, really?
Hi, would you like to meet my navy?
Yeah.
That's pretty significantly good.
Wow.
Just leave it at that.
Wow. Top tier. Assuming, yes, it's a water-based map. Okay. With that qualifier.
You need to need a navy, but...
That's not going to help you in a landlocked map, no.
Yes, you need the need for the navy, but whatever. That's everything except for Pangaea, so...
Yep.
That's true, but the more water-heavy the map is, the more you're going to be leaning on that compared to land units.
Well,
on maps where, like, all of the combat that's relevant is naval, that's nasty.
This takes us to the natural wonders, of which there aren't as many, of course.
Fun. Dan gets to try to pronounce things again.
Whee! Pronounce things!
There's going to be some abbreviations to follow.
I abbreviate your pronouncements.
COD. Oh, wait, no, not this one. Cliffs
Call of Duty?
That's the Dover. That's an easy one. Come on, Dan.
I was trolling. Phil trolled my troll, which is impressive. Cliffs of Dover. You got a 2 tile that is passable, plus 3 culture, and plus 2 gold. I would love to settle a city adjacent there. I really would. Doesn't even have to have much food. That's early on in the game. Plus 3 culture. Are you kidding me? A nice little boost to go through the civic tree. It's one of my favorite natural wonders in the game.
Really?
Absolutely.
Even the second city being settled on top of that is great.
Yeah, it means, oh, I don't have a culture city-state near me? That's too bad. Oh, I can construct this district that's going to give me culture. Yeah, I could do that, but I'd rather construct probably another district. Hey, I'll just get my culture right from a tile. Thank you.
There's no food from that tile, so you'd have to sacrifice some food.
Well, yes, you would. don't want like Cliffs of Dover to appear. Like sometimes I've seen it. Oh man, it's surrounded by ice. Ugh. But
yeah, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
Short of that extreme, to be able to work two tiles for +3 culture, I don't even care if that city grows particularly tall, so long as I can get it earlier on in the game. But otherwise, that absolute value of +3 culture, what I'm going to have to get for +3 culture otherwise, or just stack on top of culture that I'm already getting, say, from a culture city state.
Hmm.
Great. Excuse me while I leapfrog through the civics tree early on. Bye-bye now. Crater Lake, one tile. +1 science, +4 faith. Well, I can be looking for faith. It's not terrible, by any stretch of the imagination. Found a religion early on. That's a nice banking of the faith, or even if you don't found a religion, it's kind of one of those things where I'm not going to settle specifically for Crater Lake, but if it's there, I'm going to want it. I'm going to be banking that faith, so maybe I can use that faith a little later on to leapfrog somebody on a great person. That's great. That's great for great. I prefer, actually, the Dead Sea. Two tiles, +2 faith, and +2 culture. Also, units heal completely if rest, or heal for one turn adjacent to the Dead Sea. But, that's +2 culture, two tiles, there's 4 culture. That's very decent.
It's also a good tile to put a holy district next to, because you get 2 tiles, so you get 2 adjacency bonuses.
The impassable E. See, I'm not even going to try. Adjacent land plots yield +1 culture and +2 food. It depends in part what those adjacent land plots are, but most of the time it's actually very decent. Galapagos Islands, 2 tiles. Provides +2 science to each adjacent tile. Unless it's like, oh man, it's ice again. Would you like to get some food and production from, you know, these food and production tiles? Plus science as well. So again, earlier in the game, kind of like the Cliffs of Dover, the better. The fact that it's not passable, generally speaking, or is not. It's not that it's irrelevant, but it's not usually a particular concern. Giant's Causeway. Land combat units that enter adjacent plots receive the ability Spear of Phion, +5 combat strength. You know, the first time I saw that, I wanted to go play Tetris. But it's actually not what it has to do with. It's kind of one of those incidental things. Sure, +5 combat strength is great. Well, I could get that +5 combat strength, but I'm going to have to go 15, 20 hexes out of my way where I want that unit, whereas it could just go and fight and get some promotions. But shoot, if it's on the way, great. But I'm not going to go out of my way to settle for it, though. Oh, but speaking of maybe going out of your way... 2 tiles, Great Barrier Reef, +3 food and +2 science. Oh, man. Can I settle that, like, in the first 10, 15, 20 turns in particular? But even if I can't, +3 food. I mean, yeah, the +2 science is nice, but let's kickstart.
You would love that for your capital, wouldn't you?
Oh, I absolutely would. And often in Civilization VI, you can actually work both of these hexes, not just one. What? Let's see. I'm Mount Kilimanjaro, +2 food to each adjacent tile. Yeah, again, if the tile is decent, and sometimes you can make a marginal food tile decent, like a plane, but my gosh, if you've got grassland on top of it, or even a little bit of that, it's like, oh, yeah, oh crap. Naval combat units that enter adjacent plots are granted their next promotion. Okay, well, I mean, it can be kind of situational. If it's the naval unit just got a promotion, then it would be very tempting to go have it go right adjacent to that. Because then it's not going to have to go through the combat of getting to that next promotion. But, again, if it's along the way, great. Probably not going to go out of my way most of the time. I guess I suppose if I was on tech parity with another Civ and we're fielding comparable number of units and I'm looking for that edge to get to that next promotion to make it that much stronger, like I've just constructed the unit, okay, I've already got harbor in there. I'm going to be getting the shipyard, so then I'm already getting some experience. Let's get some more experience by another promotion. Then great, but that's very situational. Mount Everest, 3 tiles, provides a bonus of +1 faith to each adjacent tile. Yeah. Again, you're going the religion route? Sure. 4 tiles, Pantanal, +2 food and +2 culture. Oh, I'm particularly looking at you, culture. Again, earlier on in the game. I mean, it appears as a marsh and provides +2 food. It's passable. The fact that it's 4 tiles, wow. Okay, there's a culture there, if you can work it. Pliopatai, 3 tiles, +1 culture and +1 gold to each adjacent tile. That's more of kind of a universal sort of a thing. In other words, if the tile is already decent, it's now just that a little better. Because the yield is pretty low, but I'd have no problem, say, a grassland tile also giving me +1 gold and +1 culture to +3 food now that I've farmed it. Torres del Plain doubles the bonus yield of each adjacent tile. Woo! Yes, it doubles the base terrain yield of the tiles, not including features, improvements, or other bonuses. That can be very impressive.
I like Mount Kilimanjaro with that one as well. I mean, those are my 2 favorite natural wonders.
Last two, I just call it the Ziki sauce, but the Tzatziki de Bamaraha, man, that's the one I'm really tongue-twisting over today. Provides a bonus of +1 culture and +1 science to each adjacent tile. And similarly, Yosemite, +1 gold and +1 science to each adjacent tile, where Tzatziki is 1 tile and Yosemite is 2. Yeah, again, if you got some decent tiles, it's just a nice little added flavor there. Not going to go out of my way to settle for them, but again, middle of the road. Definitely more conversation to be had with regards to wonders of the world than natural wonders, but still, they are all wonderful.
They released a Explorer's Pack for Civilization VI, which includes a limited edition lithograph, it's 11x17, signed by Ed Beach, Sid Meier, Brian Busati, and Dennis Shirk. Then there's also the functional brass sextant and compass, both have a little wood box, 2 hardwood presentation cases for them, and a navigator's journal and pen, which is paper-bound. And I have to say, the price is way, way overpriced for this thing. I did a quick look on Amazon for 3 items that are comparable to these, and you can get like a sextant for $40. A compass ranges from $3 to like $15 or $20, and leather journal ranges from like $8 to $20. So that leaves that lithograph being very expensive.
You're paying for the lithograph here, really.
Yeah. A lot of people seem to have missed this point. This does not include the video game. You don't get some Civilization VI with this.
Yeah, because someone had asked, how come you guys didn't release this when you released the game? Well, they wanted you to buy the game.
Yeah, exactly.
And there are only apparently 50 of these available. So get yours before they're sold out. They have sold out.
They sold out a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? The fact that they sold out relatively quickly, even though there were only 50, okay, it's a marketing win. But quite frankly, it's a little facepalm for me. A little bit. A
little bit.
There were some arguments saying, why don't you guys improve the game? Why are you wasting your time on this? Well,
because they aren't the ones making this?
Yeah. This is a complete marketing ploy. It's got nothing to do with the developers, the programmers, and the designers. They have nothing to do with this. Well, other than the fact that they designed the game that, of course, graces the name of the thing. But
so many people thought that this was another version of the game bundle or something, and it's like, no, it's not.
Nope, it's just extra stuff for giggles.
Like I said, I did a little looking online, and I found comparable sextants, leather journals, and compasses for way cheaper. I even saw a journal that has a ship's wheel and an anchor, and it even had a little cardinal direction compass embossed on the journal, and it was leather, as opposed to that paper one. There's better quality stuff, I think.
Support the ongoing Polycast Patreon campaign.
Collective achievements.
Personal incentives.
Month-to-month commitment.
For more information, visit thepolycast.net/Patreon.
Call in today.
In North America, 301-637-7659.
In Europe, 441-212-88-7659.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
Log on to the series' official website at
thepolycast.net.
While we're casting, let's all do push-ups. That's improvement.
No?
Too much effort.
Too much effort this early on a Saturday.
Strictly speaking, we could just claim we're doing them. That's true.
That's true.
Whoa, you're lying on the internet? What?
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I said we could lie on the internet. I'm not lying at present on the internet. I'm just proposing it as an option.
You're proposing? Wow, this is so sudden. Moving on.
Well, we were talking about diamonds earlier, so, you know.
I'm not putting a ring on your finger.
I've known Phil a while, so I don't think it's that surprising.
But you know, Mac, I've known you longer. so.
Ah!
And Becky runs away.
How does the common law work? We're all married.
For what?
On the point of running away, this has been the 275th episode of a Polycast. I've been joined by our guest co-host, Melchard.
Hey.
Imagine, regular co-host.
Get out of my head.
Fellow regular co-host, the me and team.
I'm not running, it's a tactical retreat.
And Makalua.
I'm running towards a coffee pot or something pot or whatever has caffeine in a pot.
That pot.
Scott, as the 15th appearance on Polycast as a guest co-host, you have been on the panel for 5% of every episode that has been published in this show. Congratulations on being part of the 5%.
You made it to 5%.
And some viewer out there, just thank you for putting your stats at the end of the show, Dan.
Oh, my.
That's a very important to Dan.
Mackie's going for the triggering stuff. Yeah.
So, let's talk about the first episode Scott was on. No, I'm kidding.
We have an archive system for that.
Are you losing connection or am I?
I was going to ask that too.
No, okay, yeah, Matt's cutting it.
It's Matt, okay.
Yes, all Matt right. was cutting it for me as well.
My webcam is not there. So,
you got like almost a muffled thing going on, and sometimes your audio is completely cutting out.
Oh.
That was encouraging.
Did you say something about your webcam?
Yeah.
No. We'd rather you not with the webcam, so it's, you know, we're all good. Yeah, we're good. I find it interesting.
Or is it?
No, go ahead,
Maggie. Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, don't do it. Oh, I got a Canadian moment back.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Thank you, Phil.
I'm amused that it lists the barbarian camp as an improvement.
Totally. It's a very important improvement.
Yeah, because I can totally build barbarian camps and tribal villages, too, guys.
Constantly. If you just close your eyes.
Aluminum isn't as good as it was in Beyond Earth, right? Or no, that's titanium. I keep doing that.
Titanium was really good in Beyond Earth, so...
Yeah.
Or what?
Magic doesn't acknowledge this title that you're referring to. So, if we're looking at plus
why is gold not a resource yet?
Because there's so much gold on the map, we don't actually need gold. We have gold.
Yeah. There's gold everywhere, man.
God, are you trying to do hyperinflation? Are you just trying to print money?
No, that'd be a perfect expansion. Take gold off the map, and then you have to run around looking for the gold mines so that you can get gold. And then somewhere along the way, you have to switch from gold as a resource to not gold.
Can we not...
It's a wonder we get along. Ha, ha.
What?
It took me a moment to realize what you were even going for there, but sure.
Are we still on improvements?
No, I just transitioned.
He's trying to make us stop and continue with the show. Let's do that now.
We're trying to segue to wonder somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't care how poorly. Just go. Just go.
I'm still not hearing very much about the three slingers or like five knights wanderers or anything. Those are the ones that are worth building.
That's a separate list. It's the Estadio do Americana. Yeah, you just wanted me to pronounce it again and butcher it. That's all Scott was really doing. And I applaud your reason for giving me to try to pronounce it again.
Let's listen to Dan try to pronounce things that aren't in English.
Just like try installing two pieces of antivirus on your computer run at the same time. I'm sure it'll work great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, depending on your goals and what you consider working, yes.
Oh, wait, this isn't tech support cast.
Sometimes it is.
The only other examples I could think of at the top of my head were very politicasty territory, so... Doop, 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 doop. Doop, 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 doop. I think that's the segue.
That's the segue.
It's a prompt for Phil. Oh, sorry. Actually, that's for Mackie. I'm sorry. That's
I was going to say, what the heck? I'm pretty sure my next topic is after a significant topic from Dan, but okay.
Yeah.
Whoops. Direct Mackie. your topic.
I'm avoiding saying stuff we shouldn't. Okay, yeah. So...
if we're live?
that's part of it, yes.
I am also avoiding... Never mind.
Never mind.
Record date?
February 18th, 2017.
Civilization 4, 5, and Beyond Earth Sound Clips. Copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.